Joe Gray is your host, and Rhonda Lehman is here with several students from Jefferson County, and they're involved in team court. So, Rhonda, how about if I turn it over to you, and you can tell us a little bit about team court and introduce the students you've brought with you.
Well, first of all, thanks for having us today, Joe. We really appreciate it. Team court is a court that is run by...
Hang on a second. Let's start again because I didn't have the right mic opened up. Okay, try it again.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Yep. Okay, Teen Court is a program that was started in the 90s in West Virginia because West Virginia incarcerated juveniles at a rate 46% higher than any other state in the country. We were lucky enough to have a very active board of community members here from law enforcement, the schools, Commissioner Dale Manuel, different people from our community that are well known, started this project with the United Way of the Eastern Panhandle out of Martinsburg. And Stacy Roan was the first coordinator who set up all of our funding. We are funded by a $5 fee that's on every ticket in Jefferson County. And that keeps us set up nicely. The county gives us office space. So we have a great place right in the middle of town to meet. And the kids are the attorneys and the jurors. So they literally are deciding the fate of their peers when they get in trouble for the first time. It might be shoplifting. It might be property damage, problems with school, disruption of schools. We get a good many of those. But the kids have to come in. They have a hearing. They have attorneys. And their peers decide their fate. And all those sentences are mandated by the state of West Virginia. So whatever the kids decide sticks. And everyone that comes into the program gets at least 16 hours of community service, and they have to serve as a juror themselves at least twice. But then, you know, that depends on their sentence. They have to pay restitution if there's property damage or something stolen that can't be sold. So they do pay for their crimes, but at the same time, we get them involved in the community, and we give them a sense of community. And when you realize that your community is behind you, you don't want to make those mistakes over and over again because you know you're letting down more than just your parents. And so it's a really good program. The kids give back. We have different outlets. The Animal Welfare Society in Jefferson County sees a lot of our kids. We've been to the Jefferson Center for Disabled Adults, a lot of places, fire companies in Middleway. Their chief has been nice enough to let our kids come work their dinners. They're going to be working with the Blue Ridge Watershed Coalition this year, doing our cleanups and that sort of thing. Over spring break, I took kids to Jefferson Park in Charlestown, and we painted all the benches, and we picked up trash out in Bardane at the Industrial Center. So the kids are trying to give back and make it right.
What is your role with the court, Rhonda?
I'm the team court coordinator. I'm the guy that takes in all the intakes and reaches out to the kids and their parents, gets them involved in the program. I oversee their community service. I run the whole program.
Mm-hmm. Let's introduce the
yes.
students, and then we'll go from there.
Go ahead, Zoe.
I'm Chloe Edwards, and I'm the youngest person on the team. I'm the youngest member of the team court, and...
How old are you?
I'm 10.
Okay.
Chloe's an attorney. Go ahead, Sam.
I'm Samantha Minson, and I'm one of the youngest ones. I've been volunteering for about a year now, and I'm 14.
Okay. And just a tip, when you hold the mic, if you don't touch this part, you'll hear more sound. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Tyler Edwards. I've actually been through the program, but now I'm working with, I'm doing the attorney. I'm actually still there doing things that I want because I actually like being there.
I'm Zach Poma, and I'm a volunteer at Teen Court, and I've been there for about a year. I think
probably more
a little over a year, and it's pretty fun there.
And Zach has a radio voice.
Yes,
he has a voice for radio.
He definitely is going to take over here. I was very interested when you said attorneys representing. Now, but who are these attorneys?
Some of the kids in this very room have all served as attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So after the kids do their time, so to speak, and they can stay on and become attorneys. We meet every Monday night. Some of the kids just like to come hang out, eat the pizza. We talk about a lot of issues going on in school. We're constantly reminding them about social media, how to be safe out there, what mistakes they don't want to make that they can never turn back. So there's a lot of discussions. There's actually a lot of positive peer pressure in the room. Some of the kids will come in and say, oh, I got this referral today, and they might think it's funny. Some of the older kids will say, well, why did you do that? That was really stupid. So there's a lot of dynamics that go on in our meetings.
Now, how do you get the referrals? Are these, for example, do the police kick them over to you and say, here, this is one for you? The criminal justice system of the county, and are there others that just come through the school system? Where do these cases come from?
All these cases have to come through the prosecuting attorney's office. So whenever a police officer anywhere in Jefferson County writes a juvenile petition, instead of arresting kids, where they write juvenile petitions, the prosecutor decides which kids go to which program or which ones will be tried in adult court, and we get the referrals directly from the prosecuting attorney.
Okay. Now, first, young lady, I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you, you're 10 years old now. Have you actively served on some of the court cases so far?
Yes, I've done one, and I help out with others.
Mm-hmm. So do cases actually come from the kids that are your age?
No, they're okay. Usually older.
Okay, so you've been with it for how long?
A little less than a year.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you, what has this experience been like for you? Do you have training? And what is your thinking after you experience some of these court cases? How do you feel about the justice system, the court system, and teen court?
For my experience, I've only done one case so far, and how I feel about it, I mean, it's a good program for kids because they can either keep making mistakes or they can learn from them. Mm-hmm. And that's the good part.
Okay. Let me hear from some of the other students as well. Yeah, same question. What is your experience? Now, you said you actually were tried under a teen court.
Yes, I was.
If you want to talk about that, please do. Otherwise, just talk about your experience with it, and what benefit or drawback do you see from it?
Well, when I was first in there going through my actual trial and stuff, I didn't want to be there. I thought it was dumb. But now that I've been through my trial, been working with others on their cases, I see it's a good place. I have had a great experience with it. I'm not locked up somewhere, which I could be, especially with what I had done. It's just a really good program. It helps kids out, kids that just make dumb choices, not thinking, hanging out with friends, a bunch of peer pressure, and then eventually they end up realizing that it's not it's going to help them out, and the choices they're making is not good choices.
Mm-hmm. In general, the kids that have gone through the program and they get some kind of service, are their attitudes generally similar to yours, or what kind of reactions do they have to it? And how effective is it in keeping kids from going back into the same problem areas that brought them there?
Well, it'll depend if they go back to hanging out with the people they were with. Some people have positive attitudes, but then some people, they're there and they don't care what's going on. It really depends on how they interpret it while they're there. Mm-hmm. If they are participating, most people, they end up not making the same mistakes. But if they're just sitting there not participating, they'll end up going back to what they were doing.
I'm sorry, I don't recall the names, but let me ask you what your experience has been with teen court, and How you feel about the effectiveness?
I had originally been in there for getting in trouble, and I think it's very effective because I noticed as soon as I started joining the program, I stopped acting up. I started respecting my parents a lot more than I had before.
Okay. How did you feel about the way that the procedures were conducted? Were they were you there for the trial? I mean, if you're there and you hear a case brought against you by another student who is acting as an attorney, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you feel about this process? Did you have resentment for it, or were you glad it was being handled this way? It was probably pretty embarrassing, right?
Well, I liked the way it was handled. Like, it was kind of embarrassing, but I'd rather it be there than, like, in big court, because that was kind of nerve-wracking. So I liked the system a lot.
Mm-hmm. And, let me bring it up here to our radio voice. What has been your reaction to it, some of your experiences with it? What kind of cases have you seen, and how effective have you felt that it has been?
Well, I've seen a lot of different cases. Like, there's a lot of, like, theft from stores, mostly Walmart. A lot of kids tend to go there. Man, some kids just steal the dumbest stuff. But
have you seen drug cases? Does that come into the court or not?
Yeah, there's a drug court.
It's a separate drug court.
Yes,
it's also a teen court or not?
It's for juveniles, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It is for juveniles.
Okay, but it's not conducted by teens in the same way that this is, right?
No.
Okay, Rhonda, you want to address that? Go ahead.
The Jefferson Juvenile Drug Court is, they have to go into real court, and they take kids that are at risk. They don't necessarily have to have drug charges. Mm-hmm. They also take kids who are at risk behaviorally, and they get intense counseling. Their funding comes from the Supreme Court of West Virginia. They get drug counseling, they get mentors, the program is a lot longer, they have to submit themselves to drug testing, so it's a little more intense program, it has a different focus. We get kids from time to time that have possession charges, but usually they have not actually used the items that they were found in possession. You know, kids will take, for some reason, alcohol to school in a water bottle.
Mm.
And even though they won't drink it, they'll carry it around, but we've seen several of those cases. But we tend, you know, the kids that are really struggling with drug issues and very high-risk behaviors end up getting pulled into juvenile drug court. But both the parent and the teen in that system has to agree to coming into the program, or they won't take them into the program. Our focus is a little different. The defendant has a choice whether they want to come to teen court or go through the regular circuit court. But so far, I really haven't had anybody that opted to go through circuit court once they hear the teen court program, because when the kids complete their sentences, this record is destroyed, and it does not follow them.
Okay, now what happens with repeat offenders? Have you had cases of that type?
We've had one so far, and they tend to be, we see a lot of kids with ADHD. Mm-hmm. That have trouble sitting still in school. Mm-hmm. And teachers will only take so much of that before they have them charged with disruption of schools.
Boy, that's a tough one.
It's very tough. That
because you wonder, you know, if the kid's just a victim in this situation maybe a school environment they're just not suited to. So that one raises some big questions.
A lot of big questions, and a lot of it has to do with funding for our schools, which is always at risk. Jefferson County just took another big cut. They took a 1% cut overall. Impact fees have been cut in our county. So, you know, whenever you have 200 new kids come into the county, you have to build a new school. Our funds have been cut to do that now.
This is kind of a side question, and you may not be prepared for it, but there are the teachers prepared for special ed, right? And and do they have handle a lot of the ADHD situations.
They do, and the alternative, the Opportunity Learning Center in Charlestown, which is a school where kids that are just not succeeding, usually for behavioral issues, in the normal schools will have to go to the Opportunity Learning Center, where the staff ratio to student is much lower than what they experience in the regular schools. They can only be there for 6 months to a year for one or two semesters until they are out of there. So hopefully they have some of the behaviors under control, but you know, as with the drug issues in our county, all kind of stemming back to the lack of mental health care, there's a lot of lack of programs for kids in our area as well. And I think you just had Jan Hafer in here, if we start earlier at getting these kids when they do get in trouble at 12, 13, 14, we do have a chance of turning them around. Mm-hmm. And teaching them a better way. We have law enforcement involved with our program. We take the kids into the courtrooms to watch different trials. So we try to get them excited about being on the right side of the law, mm-hmm. instead of the other. And many, you know, some of our kids are dealing with parents with addiction problems or family members with addiction problems, so they're hurting. Mm-hmm. And usually when kids act out, there's a reason they're hurting.
Do you get any kids that are coming from homeschooling?
We do, as volunteers. So far, we haven't had any homeschooled kids that have gotten in trouble and been sent to us. But we do have, we've had a couple that are homeschooled and volunteer as attorneys, because we have just as many kids in the program that are there to volunteer as we do defendants.
Okay. Have any of you had an opportunity to be attorneys, play the role of attorneys? All of you? Would like for you to talk a little bit about that. What preparation did you have, education-wise, a little training or whatever? And also, how do you prepare yourself for a case?
Well, I didn't have any training or anything like that.
You did.
I mean, I don't know. I was really scared my first time. I didn't really say much anyway, but I was really nervous. I mean, really, I just watched the older people there, like the older teenagers, mm-hmm. and who had been there before and defended before and prosecuted, and I just kind of watched them and tried to listen to what they said to do and listen to what I wrote down.
Now, were you a defense attorney or a prosecuting attorney?
I was a prosecuting attorney.
Okay. So, what information was presented to you beforehand in order to prepare your case?
Information about what the teenager did.
And where did that come from?
It came from police reports.
Okay. So, you read the police reports, and did you talk to the student?
Yes, they have interviews. You interview them at some point before they go to the court.
And is this court open to the public, or is this private?
Public members, if they contact me, can come in and watch the proceedings, but everybody is sworn to an oath in the room that they cannot discuss, you know, anything that they see or hear there. Back to the training, Kirk Botner, who's a local attorney, is there at all of our meetings. He's our legal advisor, and all the kids run their cases past both of us. They practice their openings. They practice their line of questioning, their closings. We let them know which witnesses are going to be there to be interviewed. So the training, they see so many cases before they're an attorney. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the training is on the job, so to speak, OJT. But we are going to start holding some different classes to prepare them, because, you know, there's certain ways to give an opening. Any attorney will tell you. You want to foreshadow the evidence that you're going to prove on the witness through your witnesses. And we like the kids to tell a narrative. We want them to take the juror back to that day, you know, especially the prosecuting attorney who sets the stage of the crime, whereas the defense attorneys are going to talk about all the great things about this student. You know, our motto is there aren't any bad kids, there's just bad decisions. Mm-hmm. So our defense teams have to work on, and there's always two prosecutors and two defense attorneys, and they are closely guided and steered by Mr. Botner and myself.
When you have a case come in, do you, let's say, try one case per event, or do you have multiple cases on one, say, well, you said you do this in the evening? Or?
Yes, we have court. In fact, we're in court this Monday, and our courtroom is the Ranson Police Station Municipal Courtroom, so that's where we always meet. Chief Billy Roper's on our board, as well as other law enforcement members. But when we get the case, right now we have, you know, trespassing cases from the Millville Quarry where three kids were all charged with the same case. And those nights can get monotonous whenever you're hearing three defendants who did the same thing. I try to spread them out as much as possible so that the jurors don't get bored. Sheriff Pete Doherty comes in, and he testifies a lot and plays the role of law enforcement, sometimes for other agencies that are too busy, that don't have enough staff to be there at 6:30 in the evening on a Monday. But it's the kids learn a lot.
Have any of you served as jurors or judges? And if you have, could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I have. I think I've done it twice now. You pretty much, you sit there, you listen to the case, you try and, you listen to both the sides, so you're not on one-sided, you make sure you listen to both of them, and then you go back into a room and it's a unanimous vote, so everybody has to agree on what they get, how much community service they get, how many times they're on a teen court jury, and sometimes, restitution. There's also sometimes if it's like disruption of school, apology letters or stuff like that.
Now, who prepares the charges or the restitution? How do you get your guidelines as a judge or a juror for, you know, what punishment suits the crime?
Usually the prosecutor will ask for a set amount of community service and a certain punishment.
How does the prosecutor come up with those guidelines?
Actually, the prosecutor, if it's damage to a school, they might ask for the set amount that covers the damage done to the school. The prosecutor doesn't decide the sentence, so to speak. The kids decide the sentences, but sometimes they'll put a caveat on there, we have to get this much restitution. And anytime a store owner loses money, we try to replace that money for them. So the kids aren't, you know, walking away without literally paying for their crime, or their parents aren't. But the kids are allowed to be creative with their sentencing. They can write apology letters. They can write essays on smoking or drinking or shoplifting. We also partner with the Juvenile Day Report Center in Jefferson County, run by Patricia Smith. Patricia Smith has been a police officer here in Shepherdstown at the university and for Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. And we have anger management programs available through PATS program. We have a shoplifting class that's getting ready to start, smoking cessation. There's a lot of different things. So we try to correct the behavior while we get the kids excited about their communities. We walk in parades. We do all sorts of kind of different things. We try to keep it different.
And let me ask you, I haven't heard a lot from you, but I want to ask you, how has this affected your view of the justice system, how it functions, and whether you have any interest in justice in the future?
Well, it affected the view because I saw like what it's like inside of the justice system, and like last summer I thought of like I might consider being a lawyer when I was older, so it might be something I would like to do when I'm older, so I could look and see what it's like, so I can experience it, so I can decide.
Mm-hmm. Great. And has it affected your approach to school?
Yeah, it has, because I've realized, like, the teachers, like, don't be rude to them because they do go through so much with several different classes, especially in middle school and high school. Like, you need a layoff.
Mm-hmm. And we've maybe got 1 minute left, so if anybody has anything they'd like to say in closing, feel free to take this. Shall we hear from the radio voice? Or there we go. Look, this guy's got pretty good. I think y'all are doing pretty good here.
Yeah.
Well, I would just like to say, Teen Court is actually a good program. People who make dumb choices, they don't need to go through the regular court, especially when they're they're not even above 18. They need to learn from their mistake, not go to jail, not actually have to go sit in a detention center somewhere. They need to learn. They need to see how it affected them, how it affected their community. They need to learn why what they did was wrong and why they shouldn't do it again.
Great. Well, I've learned a lot, and I think our listeners have learned a lot. Thank you all very much. You're a great group. Thank you, Rhonda. Really appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having us, Joe. Always happy to come over.
My pleasure. And that concludes Seven Generations Radio for today. I'll be back in a couple weeks, and we'll do it again. Have a great day. And John and Carol will be on next with their music and talk radio show. You're listening to WSHCE Shepherdstown.